Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 110-102 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Warriors are up 3-0 in the NBA Finals. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Ray, the Warriors are up 3-0 on the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals, and this time it was really no surprise that Kevin Durant stepped up when needed. He's done it for the Warriors every time they've needed that since he's been a Warrior, especially in the clutch. Hit some amazing shots, scored 43 points on 15 of 23 shooting. Especially the one that is going to stick in our mind, just like I think last year, is the one that he hit from about, 33 feet for that three-pointer that helped cement it for the Warriors. So, you know, great game for Golden State. They were down early, but they came back, and now they have this lead that should be insurmountable.
Yeah, and that back-breaking three by Kevin Durant at virtually the same spot where he hit last year, the iconic shot of last year's finals in Cleveland, and he could very well get another finals MVP. You know, there's a lot of talk about Steph Curry being the finals MVP, and rightfully so after the first couple of games. But then Durant rolls out these last two games where he was absolutely brilliant on both ends of the floor, and tonight rolls out a 43-point performance. They couldn't stop him. Didn't really seem like they tried to do a whole lot different to stop him. But, you know, on top of everything else, and I really need to point this out, he's had 14 assists in the last two games. I think earlier when the offense was running through KD, things would get stagnant. But he's figured out a way now to find the open man a little higher percentage when he is pressured. And that isn't often, but when he is, you know, how many times have you seen somebody slip into the basket from a pass from KD, from Steph, from Draymond, from Iguodala? That's been a big part of KD's evolution in this postseason. And he wasn't very good from three-point range for much of the postseason, remember. But he's been incredible, and especially tonight. And like I said, this is cementing his legacy as possible back-to-back MVP.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned those assists because he had 7 of them. And it seemed like the Warriors did such a great job as far as finding cutters, the backdoor cuts, the baseline. Draymond Green, you know, also finding a lot of open receivers. The big guys were getting dunks and layups. JaVale McGee, when you see somebody like Jordan Bell getting, you know, into action and scoring 10 points, that's because he was also getting some, you know, open looks down low. I mean, he's just catching the ball and it's a layup. And the same thing with Andre Iguodala. And I thought his minutes were really valuable because he just is so smart when he gets the basketball. If it's not a layup or a dunk, he knows exactly where to pass the ball.
Yeah, he does. He's great at running the offense and making the right pass. And I go back to the Houston series. I really believe that had he been there for game four, they wouldn't have blown that game in the fourth quarter. They might have wrapped up that series in 6 games. But he's here now. Seemed a little hobbled after the game, so we'll see if there's anything more wrong with him. But I thought he was very effective tonight. You know, he had a plus 14. So it was an Andre type of game in that regard. A couple of big defensive plays late, including a strip of LeBron. Another one that was called a foul that was a clean strip. He was just the guy they needed on the road performance tonight because he's in the right place defensively. And he makes the right play offensively. I thought Andre played a solid game. But you mentioned, the centers. Here's a great stat. It shows you how Cleveland's just getting burned on the interior as the centers slip the screen up high. Jordan Bell, Kevon Looney, JaVale McGee are a combined 25 for 33 in this series. So they have torched the Cavaliers with interior passes. Not just been, you know, three-point histrionics and fireworks. It certainly was with Steph Curry in the last game with the finals record 9 three-pointers. But Curry had an awful night tonight. Klay Thompson was not great tonight. He was kind of muzzled. The Splash Brothers scored 21, and they win a road game in the NBA Finals. So there's a whole lot more going on, and a lot of that had to do with KD.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
The Splash Brothers combined 7 for 27 from the field, 3 for 15 from three-point land. Yet, you are going to remember the 1-3 that Curry made out of his 10 attempts because it helped really seal the deal there at the end. And even Kevin Durant talked about it a couple of times in some interviews after the game. He really felt that was a key three that Curry hit because he gave the Warriors momentum. And it just goes to show that Curry, even if he's missing like crazy, and it's the same thing with Klay Thompson, those guys are not afraid to take a big shot even when they're ice cold. They just forget about that.
Well, Klay, you always know will give you the good defensive effort as well. And I think Steph Curry has done a pretty good job defensively, you know, given the limitation. He's been isolated on LeBron a few times. Hasn't done a terrible job. He's done the best he could. But I think KD really appreciates that as a shooter when a guy is having a terrible night, an off night on the road. And, you know, damaging for Curry because he was certainly in line for finals MVP until he rolled out this game. And then KD laid down the last two games on those cards on the table. But, you know, even on a night where he's awful, he's found a way to make a couple of big shots late. Remember, he also made a flip shot as well while he was falling down. Very high degree of difficulty shot. So he had 5 big points late. And it was good on KD to single out Steph for that. Because I know he was upset postgame. Not that his team won and they're a win away from their third ring in 4 years. I mean, as time goes on, he'll really appreciate that. But I think he really wanted to get finals MVP. And I think he knows that that got kicked away tonight because Kevin Durant has moved ahead of him. He's certainly happy for Durant. But, you know, this is a guy who's been here since the bad old days, right? So this hardware means something to him. I think it would probably complete his career, right? He's 2-time MVP of the league, could be getting his third ring. And to also get finals MVP, you remember it was Andre Iguodala that got it in 15 and Durant last year. This guy who's the face of the franchise, I think that would mean so much to him. So you'll see a video that's circulating on social media showing the Warriors coming out off the court into the locker room down the tunnel. And there's Andre Iguodala with his arm around Steph. And Steph looks really upset. I mean, he looks like the kid in the Little League who dropped the fly ball, but his team won the game anyway. You know, he really looked upset. And so Andre was basically consoling him as they were going back in. And I think, you know, that's in the heat of the moment right after the game. I think, you know, the more Steph leans back and appreciates what's going on, he'll still be pretty happy. But, I mean, you know, this is a guy who takes pride in performing on the big stage and has done so many times. I think that would mean a lot to him. And it also means a lot when he doesn't have a good performance. And he had a terrible night tonight, but they still won the game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it would mean a lot to him to get the MVP, and maybe he saw that. But at the same time, yeah, I think it's this game that really was kind of eating at him that he didn't shoot well. I mean, his game was just not on. But I'll tell you who the MVP off the bench in my mind is, Sean Livingston. I mean, he is just, as we talked about, he hadn't missed a shot. He finally did miss one shot, but he's only missed the one shot in the entire series so far. So he's just been really lights out his pull-up jumper. He's finding space to be able to hit that, and he's just really helped him out off the bench a lot.
Yeah, former Cleveland Cavalier. Of course, he's been with a lot of NBA teams, but I go back to game one in the 2016 finals when he was so great coming off the bench. And so he's got a level of comfort against this team. And there is space for him with those mid-range jumpers on this team against this Cavaliers squad. And I think the only shot he missed, he was blocked. So, you know, yeah. I don't know if you even call that a misfire. It was just blocked. So, yeah, he's been tremendous and much needed coming off the bench when they didn't have Iguodala. He's played some very important minutes. But I like that they've gotten some minutes and some contributions from some other guys maybe that you couldn't necessarily count on earlier in the postseason. Guys like Jordan Bell and JaVale McGee, who didn't play for a while. And he's come up big in these finals. It's going to be a cementing of a legacy for him and his career as well. They've got a bench that's better than the Cavaliers' bench. There's no doubt about it. There are not a lot of teams that their bench is superior to. I don't think it's a terrible bench, but that's the one area when they have a real decided advantage over the Cavaliers, and they're definitely taking advantage of that advantage, if I can repeat myself with the same word five times. It's one of the things I'm sure they looked at before the series began.
I think it's interesting, too, the way Steve Kerr has used the bench all year, because he really has changed it around. One minute, Kevon Looney is starting, and then he's playing a lot of minutes, and you can really count on him. And then the next minute, he's not playing at all. Like in this game, he did not play at all. And Jordan Bell is playing important minutes where, you know, he was kind of banished to the bench for a long time. And same with McGee. You know, one minute he's a starter, next minute he's not playing much. You know, this game he starts and he's getting a lot of passes down low. He's creating a lot of energy, playing good defense, doing everything. So, I mean, Steve Kerr just kind of picks his spots with these players off the bench and they come through.
Yeah. It's got to be a heady experience for Bell. And there are times when he's making, you know, some mistakes defensively, some blown coverages. You see that when they're talking on the floor. But then he'll come back and he'll make a spectacular play. And I think that, there's a level of trust developing there. He's their center of the future. You know, make no doubt about it. You can tell the way they've used him this year. He had a couple of setbacks because of injuries. And here he's come back in the finals. And I think, you know, one of the things they want him to do is keep Tristan Thompson off the offensive boards if they can. That's the one area where the Cavaliers have been better than the Warriors, and that's rebounding, and especially second-chance points. That's where Tristan Thompson is so good for them. That's why he makes his money. It's not from the Kardashian show, I don't think. So there, I got in the obligatory Kardashian jab. So you can check off that box now. But I think that that's one of the things they've had to try to do is to neutralize Thompson, because that's one area where the Cavaliers – have hurt the Warriors. So would not be surprised if you see continued minutes for Jordan Bell. They're just trying to cobble it together, right? They've got JaVale McGee for a couple of bursts, 5 or 6 minutes. You got Looney maybe for a few minutes. You got Draymond Green at center part of the time. You got Jordan Bell at center. And you got David West, who's been not very effective in the series, but at least he's played a little bit where he didn't against Houston. And so we were talking earlier, Joe, about how the Warriors may have too many centers, and that's probably true. They got to settle on two or three next year and kind of increase the depth for the other positions like wing. And, of course, they haven't had McCaw, too, because he's been hurt and he's just coming back. But I think in that rotation, you'll see Jordan Bell. David West, this is probably it for him, and hopefully he gets back-to-back rings. Zaza is probably going to be gone. Back-to-back rings for him, good for him. But it's going to be whittled down probably next year.
Yeah.
Damian Jones, too.
And he was promising this year as well. I look at some key moments in this game, Ray, and, of course, the fourth quarter. I mean, that's crunch time and everything. But I also thought near the end of the first half, it was pretty interesting because the Warriors, at one point, they were down by 13. And I kept thinking to myself, if they can just get it down to maybe 6, they'll be okay. And they did that. I mean, they got it down to 6 at the half. I thought that was key because it looked to me like the game could sort of get away from them. That, you know, Cleveland was playing pretty well for a while there. Love was knocking down threes. J.R. Smith hit some threes. Certainly a really good game for Rodney Hood. He had 15 points. And, of course, LeBron James, he had a triple-double. Even though it wasn't his best game, he still scored 33 and had a triple-double.
Yeah, LeBron had a few missed layups too, remember?
Yeah.
I think you hit on the tipping point. I think Love hit a three. It was 50-37, and it's right then and there where a lot of teams decide whether they want to check out or not. But of course, these are the finals, and the Warriors know what kind of firepower they have. They stayed mentally engaged, and they did push back. And that three at the end of the half by KD, I thought was big. I thought that was probably deflating for the Cavaliers because they knew what was coming in the third quarter. The Cavaliers have done a pretty good job against the Warriors in the third quarter, but you know the Warriors are going to make up some ground. That's just what they do. And so everything had gone well for the Cavaliers in the first half. And they were getting some calls on top of that. There's been a lot of whining about the officiating in this series, but they were getting some calls, and they were dominating on the boards. They were playing well offensively. The Warriors were disjointed outside of Kevin Durant. He's the one who kept them close. And Steve Kerr mentioned it post-game. He kept them in touch, and then they kicked it into gear in the second half. So I thought that three at the end of the half was big. And, you know, on a night where the Splash Brothers are icicles, it was KD to the rescue.
Let's hear what Kevin Durant had to say after his 43-point game in Game 3.
Well, I'm just doing my job, you know, trying to give effort on the defensive side of the ball and rebound as much as I can, and offensively just be aggressive when I have it, play within the flow of the offense, and, you know, just try to help the team win as much as I can outside of just scoring the ball. So it's been a tough playoffs for us as far as just like just an up and down roller coaster, but I like we are right now, up 3-0 in the finals with a chance to go back to back, you know, I'll take that.
That's Kevin Durant. We'll have more Warriors Dubs OT right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
Did you ever find out, I was trying to find out what happened with Steph Curry, why he went to the locker room and then came back. I mean, there was no injury. So did you ever hear about what happened there?
Waiting to hear on that. They were speculating on the network that maybe it was just a bathroom break.
I thought the same thing. Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Maybe he wasn't feeling well. I don't know what the deal was. It didn't appear he had any kind of an injury because when he went back to the locker room, I don't think a trainer was with him. So and he certainly didn't seem to be limping. So I'd like to hear what the story is on that. But you know, whatever the case may be, he came back in the second half and, like I said, made a couple of pretty big shots late. But, yeah, there seemed to be something else a little bit off with him tonight. But the body language wasn't great for him. He was definitely downcast about his performance. So I don't know whether it's something that he wasn't feeling well. I don't know if it's something that he would even want to talk about because he doesn't want to use it as an excuse. But definitely something a little off for him tonight.
Speaking of the trainer, I don't know if you saw the story, Connor Letourneau from the San Francisco Chronicle, who, by the way, has done a great job all year, I think, covering the team, and he wrote a really nice story about Chelsea Lane. She didn't want to be interviewed for the story, but she has done a fantastic job with this team. You think about all the injuries, players coming back, Steph Curry in particular, you know, really giving her a lot of compliments for keeping it light, too, the attitude, you know, being humorous at times when he was trying to come back from injury this year, the ankles, the knee, and now with Andre Iguodala, I mean, just doing a great job to get him ready to get back in there because, of course, it's a big key to get him in there. So she's kind of one of the unsung heroes of the Warriors.
Absolutely. I mean, she's had her hands full this year. This has got to be a very challenging year for any trainer with that number of injuries. But when you throw in the fact that you've got some veteran players getting up there in years a little bit and the stakes are so high and you've got to really time this well, and handle these players, like you said, with the right touch, you know, where, you know, you throw in a little bit of humor, but, you know, you try to do your job. She's done a fantastic job this year and a real challenge with Klay Thompson in the finals.
Yeah.
After J.R. Smith roll blocked him. So, you know, the fact that he was able to come back, A, just to play, and B, is play as well as he did. And by the way, you know, maybe the ankle was bothering Klay a little bit tonight too. You don't know that, but and that might account for his drop in production, and he could very well come back and score 30 in game four. But the fact that he's just out there and still providing the defensive presence, I think, and the threat from three-point range, it's really something, because when you saw that injury, the moment it happened, you thought, oh, he's cooked. That's it. They're done.
I know.
He's not going to play. The way he slammed the floor, that's your first reaction. And for him to be able to come back into the game, that night, some of that was adrenaline. And you think, okay, what's going to happen after a day? And sure enough, it really swelled up. And that moment, that next day, the way they treated it, I don't know exactly what they did, but whatever they did, it worked.
We'll have more Dubs OT in just a moment.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
There are two series that stick in my mind, and maybe three, but there's two for sure that stick in my mind that were 3-0, and then there was the comeback. There was the Yankees when they led the Red Sox 3-0. Red Sox came back. Remember that one? Was at 2004.
Right.
And then I think about the Sharks. I think the Sharks, they had the 3-0 lead against the Kings. They blew that lead.
Yep.
And of course, the Warriors had the 3-1 lead. So that's why I never feel comfortable if I'm thinking about a team up 3-0 ever since those comebacks have happened, but this team has to feel fairly comfortable with the way things are going right now, right?
I would say so. This isn't these aren't the Red Sox, and these aren't the LA Kings, and the Warriors are clearly a better team. So last year, a couple years ago, when the Cavaliers had Kyrie, you're darn right they'd have a puncher's chance to get back into it.
Yeah,
and of course a lot of other things happened too that we've gone over a million times, but. I don't think that's going to be an issue this time.
Well, LeBron, again, he had the 51-point game. You mentioned he missed some layups. He did. I mean, he can. It seems like he can get shots that he wants almost any time that he wants, sort of like Kevin Durant. But in this case, they were collapsing on him. Not only did he miss some layups, but he also was having to dish off where normally he would be just taking one of those short shots. But I thought the Warriors did a good job of collapsing.
Yeah, once he got into the lane, the help came, and they tried to make it as uncomfortable as they can. That's the best they can do with him. But how many times was he ISO'd on Curry, and he passed out of the isolation?
Yeah, he did.
Against Curry.
Yeah.
So he was passed first, and it was, as opposed to game one, where he was coming after all takers, anybody who wanted to defend him. He was coming after him, and I think that's what he's going to have to get back to. It could be his last hurrah in Cleveland. On Friday.
Yeah.
So, to me, he's got to roll out a 45-50-point performance. Now, he did start getting a little help. I was going to joke about the great duel between KD and Rodney Hood in this game tonight.
Yeah.
Rodney Hood coming out of nowhere, and I get it. He's been ice cold. He's shooting 15% from three-point range coming into this game. Apparently, lost confidence in his shot. But, these are NBA players. Doesn't take long for them to get their confidence back, and he got it tonight. So, they'll probably get a little help from Hood, a little help from Love, but it's got to be LeBron, and he can't constantly be thinking about passing out when he's got Curry guarding him, unless, he's drawing the defense to him as he goes in the lane, and you've got Love, for example, on the wing, wide open three. That's the shot you want him to take, but I think a lot of the time, it's there for LeBron for the taking, like you said.
Just don't ask Hood to play in garbage time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
he declined going into one of those games. I think it was a playoff game, right? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. It's pride goes before the fall or something like that. But, at this point, Tyronn Lue's going to do anything he can. He's got to try something else because Jordan Clarkson has been awful.
Yeah.
So he had to go to Rodney Hood.
Yeah, you had to try something different. Another sidebar in this finals is Tristan Thompson versus Draymond Green, and they got the double technical, which meant that if either player got another technical, they'd be gone for the game. So I think Draymond Green, although he did yell at the officials a little bit after that, he didn't go as crazy. He seemed to temper it a little bit to where he knew, you know, I can't get another technical. I'm going to be out of this game.
He was real close, though. He was real close.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know in the finals you're going to get a little more room, right? You're going to get a little more leeway. And one time he just stalked off and was yelling, going completely in the opposite direction. Let me tell you, there's some NBA games where guys will tee you up for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was real close. But I think that, you know, it's recognition that it's the finals, that Draymond is the way he is. As long as he's not directing something personal directly at one official, I think it's all right. They have to account for the heat of the battle, the emotions when you're in the finals. He was close. And you know the Cavaliers, that's part of their strategy, is try to get him riled up. That's part of what Tristan Thompson's trying to do. They're trying to pile up the technical count, see if they can get him suspended again. But I think the series is going to run out before they're able to do that.
And that kind of leads me to the last thing I wanted to ask you about was the mix of personalities, because Kevin Durant touched on it. He talked about the joy that Steph Curry plays with. And, you know, when Steph Curry hits a big three, he's going to celebrate a little more. He might shimmy or whatever he's going to do. Whereas Kevin Durant, when he hit that big three, he just looks like he's in a daze. Like, somebody brought it up. I think it was Ann Killian brought it up in the post-game press conference that he looks like, you know, he's not even there. Like, you couldn't really tell what's on his mind. Whereas other players are emotional. Draymond Green in his way and Steph Curry in his way. And Klay Thompson's more like Durant, where he's just, you know, so calm in all of the decisive moments. So it's interesting how this team has that mix.
Yeah, they fit together skill set wise, and they fit together personality wise. And KD, you know, last year a little more demonstrative, as you can understand. This year it's like, yeah, I did it. That's what I do. You know, it's,
right?
It's like, do I need to prove anything else? You know, and this whole thing about he's chasing rings or whatever. I mean, if you, me, or anybody else had a chance to go with some dominant company in a nicer city for more money, I think we might do that. So, you know, he's probably heard that time and time again, and he's just trying to shut everybody up. That's basically it. That was another shot that shuts up the critics.
Right. Well, Ray, look forward to Friday night as the Warriors try to close it out, and we'll be talking after the game.
We may be talking 3 and 4 years. And I won't get into maybe it should be 4 years in a row. I won't be that guy. three out of four is pretty good.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.